Hi, this is Randy, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions, for Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our listening audience, and a sturdy cyber handshake to my co-host, Perry Romanowski. Hey, Perry.
Hey, Randy Schuler, how's it going?
Good. You know, I think sometimes that because of our seamless editing that our listeners may think we're, you know, in the same room together when we record this, but actually I'm here in the Beauty Brain studio and you're somewhere in the urban wastelands of Chicago.
In the basement, right? Just some lonely dude sitting in his basement.
Nice. Hey, I'm thinking about adding a new segment to the show.
Oh, really? Is it where we tell jokes?
No.
Oh.
I call this Randy's Refinery 29 rant.
So, oh, really?
So here's the premise. Refinery 29 publishes an article containing some stupid beauty advice, and we criticize them for it. How does that sound?
Sounds like it could be, that sounds like there's a lot of material there.
Well, let's just test one out just to see how this feels, right?
What so you got there?
I'll put the link in the show notes, but they recently published an article about fixing your old dried mascara by adding some eye moistening drops to it.
Oh.
Okay. So.
All right. Yeah, sure.
Now, I mean, you can read the article and, you know, see if you think it makes sense. I mean, obviously you could be opening yourself to some bacterial contamination if the preservative system has become compromised. So there are some issues, but here's what really stuck in my craw about the article. So I'll give you just a little quote from Refinery 29. They said that the main question we have here is about safety. Before trying to revive the mascara, we suggest patch testing it on the back of your hand to see if your skin becomes irritated. If you're in the clear, go ahead and get some more use out of the tube. So now that's kind of dangerous advice, right? That's the wrong test to be using. So, I mean, eyes are much more sensitive than skin. So the lack of a reaction on the back of your hand doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
And more importantly, you know, as I said a second ago, the concern with rehydrating old mascara is the preservative system may have been compromised, which would, you know, could lead to bacterial growth, which could result in an eye infection. And patch testing for irritation doesn't tell you anything about bacterial contamination. So shows a complete lack of understanding. So shame, shame, shame on Refinery 29.
So, and their dangerous advice.
And their dangerous advice. So that's how that segment could go, should we ever decide to use it.
Well, I just maybe they'll turn their ways and start producing, you know, better material.
Well, and, you know, and this is not the first time. I always, and when that happens, you know, I'm not a jerk about it. I do point it out in the comments section and again say, if you guys would ever like, you know, somebody to fact check for you or, you know, review stuff, we'd be happy to help. So far, they've completely ignored me. So.
Ah, well, anyway, at least you put it out there.
There you go. So that's the end of Randy's Refinery 29 rant.
I love the alliteration.
I'm big on that. And, you know, speaking of alliteration, why don't we play the craze that's sweeping the internet? That's right, I'm talking about beauty science or bullshit.
Yes. All right. And yes, our bi-weekly attempt to show me what I don't know. But I love it. I love it.
Well,
let's play it out.
This is the the much beloved game where I challenge you to guess which of the following three beauty science headlines is fake. So two of these are real, one is made up. Perry, are you
and,
ready?
And you know the comments we're getting on the show notes and on the internet's just overwhelming. Really.
I barely have time to script new episodes because I'm so busy responding to the to the two comments that we've had to date. All right.
Well,
so,
if you like beauty science or BS. Randy likes to hear a little positive feedback, and he's not getting it from me, because so I keep losing. All right.
All right, Perry, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, number one. Oh, by the way, oh, wait, special announcement. There's a theme to this week's quiz. Yeah.
Theme. All right.
Theme. Here we go. All right, number one. A Philippines zoo is offering snake massages by four giant pythons. right. Number two, Chinese spas offer fish pedicures where tiny fish nibble off your dead skin.
All right.
And number three, at an arboretum in Thailand, you can get a butterfly facial, which is said to soften skin and brighten your complexion using butterfly wings.
Wow. So I see the theme is like Asian spas?
Yeah.
There you go.
And with an animal twist, you know.
Sure, sure. Well, these are all fascinating. So we've got the snake massages with giant boa constrictors. That's interesting. So the person like gets in a coffin and they put a boa constrictor on top of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you got coffin out of that, but okay.
Now I have actually heard about the fish eating the dead flesh off of your feet. So I'm going to say that that's probably a real one.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just a tip on playing the game. You'll look smarter if you don't tell people you've already read that. But that's just,
oh, right.
That's just me.
That is a good point. I think I've seen the butterfly effect, putting it on your face, getting them to touch you. I could see that too. So I think I feel pretty confident that the snake one is the fake one.
Oh yeah. I like that. Really. Well done. All right, well let's break these down. The one that you previously read is about the fish pedicures, that is indeed true. It would cost you about $12 an hour to submerge your feet in a tank of tiny flesh-eating fish. I hear it tickles, but apparently it's quite effective. So, you know, for $12 an hour, you know, give it a shot.
Well, I recall writing about that, I think, in the previous Beauty Brains blog post.
Yeah, I couldn't resist it because it kept with the theme. So.
All right. That's a good one, though.
It's a good one. I think for the readers playing along at home, you know, it's still a challenge. So
sure, sure.
Anyway, so that one is true. You seem to think that this one about the snake massage is false.
Snake sounds fake to me.
I'm afraid that's true. So so here's the deal. This is this is bizarre, but. This is from the Philippines Zoo. So they offer this service where they have these four giant pythons that weighing a total of 550 pounds. And you lay down. I don't think it's done in a coffin, but and they put these pythons on you and they sort of writhe around on top of you. Now, before they do this, they give each snake a meal of 10 chickens. So I guess there's less of a likelihood that you'll end up as a snack.
Right.
But even despite the chicken McNuggets pre-meal, if you do this, you are advised to avoid wriggling around too much so you're not mistaken for food.
Right. So,
and wow. I love the quote from the zoo manager who says, "At first, visitors feel fear, but most of the guests who try the snake massage say they like it." And then he concludes by saying, "It's like getting a hand massage." Well, you know what? Then why not just get a hand massage? <That's> I understand.
Wow.
So that's true. So
and that was where? Thailand?
That was Philippines. That was Philippines.
Philippines. So maybe next time I'm out there, I'll get one.
Yeah. Please report back. So finally, that means then that this arboretum in Thailand giving you the butterfly facial. I just completely made that up. It wasn't even based on anything. I just totally made it up. So
you got me again.
And really, you had a 50-50 chance that time because you knew one of the answers.
Well, I think the game's more fun when I don't get it right, isn't it, really?
It gives me something to crow about.
I certainly hear the glee in your voice.
There are so few things in life that I get to best you at that I do heartily enjoy this segment. So anyway. So speaking of segments, we are going to debut yet another new segment on the show today.
Is it where we tell jokes?
Now listen to me very carefully. We're not doing the joke bit, okay?
All right.
So, you know, we typically, you know, we'll answer questions from listeners. We'll report on the latest beauty science news stories, right? Well, today we're going to do a segment on beauty myth busting and I think we should call it The Beauty Brain's Big Busts.
The Beauty Brain's Big Busts.
Yeah, maybe we need to work on the name, but I like right. the idea.
Sure, no, I love the idea. I love the attempt, too. Maybe, I mean, it's not quite as good as your finishing tagline attempt, but it is always good to brand these segments, right?
All right, well, we'll continue to work on the branding on this one. But, you know, this was actually prompted by something you had sent to me, and maybe you could tell the listeners about your recent newspaper reporter experience.
Sure. Well, what happens when you are a beauty blogger, and specifically, we're very niche because we're science beauty bloggers, which there aren't a lot of those. You end up getting found by reporters, and they have lots of questions when they're writing stories. And you know, I'm always happy to answer a reporter's questions. So if you are a reporter or writing a book or whatever, you know, feel free to send questions. Can't guarantee that we answer everything, but we do our best. But this reporter had contact, and I'll save who it is because she's still writing the story. But
that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Don't, for God's sakes, do not mention the New York Times.
Well, you know, back in the days when we were going by pseudonyms, we were mentioned in the New York Times.
Yeah, where are they now that we're out of the closet? They never call.
They have, not in the recent past, but yeah. It is true. But this reporter had some questions about some beauty myths. So I think what happened was that the reporters just sort of collected all the beauty folk tales or, you know, wives' tale advice, sure. And they wanted to know, are these real things or not? And so they sent us about 10 or 11 beauty, you know, kitchen beauty tips and asking whether was there any validity to those things. So I thought what we could do is go through these and talk about whether it's worth doing or not.
And I'll tell you what, we can go through the 11 that the reporter talked to you about, and then I've got one of my own I'll throw in to make it an even dozen.
Oh, all right. So the first one is about apple cider vinegar. And the question is, does apple cider vinegar, can it be used to soften your hair and reduce dandruff? Hmm. We talked about this one on a recent show, didn't we?
Yeah, I know we talked about can vinegar or acids in general, you know, close the cuticle and make hair shinier. I don't remember if we had a dandruff question or not, though.
Yeah, no, I remember we were talking, and this came up when we were talking about alternative shampooing methods.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, we did discuss that, yeah.
So the bottom line on vinegar is vinegar has a low pH, but you know, other than helping to remove mineral buildup on the hair, it really doesn't do much. So there's not really going to be any evidence that it's going to help with dandruff, and I doubt it's going to have any noticeable effect on your hair shine.
Yeah, and and a couple of weeks ago, we went through all the, you know, sort of what's required to be an effective dandruff agent, and vinegar doesn't have any of those requirements. So that's certainly falls in the category of myth. So the second one, if you want to move on, was about using turmeric paste to get rid of zits. So turmeric, so it's a common spice used a lot in Indian cooking, I believe. And, you know, there's some evidence that the components of turmeric have antibacterial properties, but it's never been proven to be helpful for acne. And, you know, this is kind of one of my pet peeves. You get these catch-alls about bacterial ingredients, right? Because a lot of things will have, you know, some antibacterial properties, but that doesn't necessarily mean they will kill any given species of bacteria. So if you look in the case of acne, it's you know, the P. acne is the bacteria that causes the problem. So to just say, oh, well, turmeric, you know, has antibacterial properties, therefore it's good against zits. Well, has someone done the work on, you know, taking a culture of that strain of bacteria and seeing if this particular spice extract has had an effect? So if it doesn't, then it just falls into the myth category. And just because something is an antibacterial doesn't mean it's going to be effective against, in this case, zits.
Right. Antibacterial does not mean anti against all bacteria.
There you go.
It could just mean against a single one, and it's really got to be specific here.
Right.
Now, the next one was about this oil pulling, which has really taken over the internet the last couple of weeks. oil pulling for whiter teeth and detoxifying. Mm. And so just if you haven't heard, oil pulling is the notion that you rinse your mouth out with some natural oil, olive oil or coconut oil or something, and you swish it around and you spit it out, and that's supposed to remove the toxins from your mouth. And it's supposed to, well, the question here was, it does it whiten your teeth and does it detoxify?
Hmm.
Now, oil pulling, it may help to reduce bacteria in your mouth. You know, you're putting a big slug of oil in your mouth, and I could see that pulling, you know, individual cells off of your teeth. And so in that way, it could help to reduce bacteria in your mouth. But there's really no reason to think that it's going to whiten teeth. And detoxify doesn't mean anything to me. The only thing that detoxifies in your body is your liver.
Right.
And that's actual a chemical reaction. There's nothing... there's no toxic reservoir in your mouth that you could pull the toxins out. So no, it's not going to detoxify. But on the other hand, as far as this oil pulling goes, I know it seems kind of silly, but there's really little downside to trying it. And, you know, if you do swish stuff around in your mouth for a while, that really doesn't matter what it is. It's going to remove particles and bits from around your teeth and things. So, I mean, standard mouthwash, that would work better. But, you know, this oil would probably have some small effect.
You know, I found a couple of papers on this, and one involved, you know, swishing with sesame oil. And that then they measured the reduction in gingivitis and plaque. And they found there was a net decline. It was pretty significant after 45 days of this. And then a second study, which was in the published by the British Dental Association, showed that pulling with coconut oil can reduce cavities. And their finding was that coconut oil inhibits the growth of most strains of this Streptococcus bacteria, which is, you know, which are responsible for caries or cavities. But in that study, they said it only worked if you used pre-digested coconut oil, which I'm not sure what that means. I don't know what they said. It had to be pre-digested with an enzyme to make it the most effective. But I don't know. But anyway, and so there are certainly studies out there that show oil pulling does have some effect at, you know, getting rid of bacteria.
Yeah. Although usually when you hear studies like that, they're just comparing it to doing nothing, not versus like doing the best treatment. So how does that compare to if you used mouthwash, standard mouthwash?
It's
you know
a mean? Good point. There was no control, in the, at least that I saw in these studies. So.
Right.
All right.
All right. Another question was about, could you use rice flour as a body scrub for exfoliation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could if it were, you know, sort of dried starch particles. I suppose it could give you some exfoliation. But if you're putting that in a cream or a lotion or something, or any hydrophilic base, those starch particles are going to swell up and become hydrated. And then they'll just kind of smoosh around on your body. So, I mean, it's not going to hurt you, but I can't imagine that it would be very effective. I mean, there's no reason.
I wouldn't think it's going to have any kind of measurable exfoliation effect. But again, this is another one where there's no real harm in trying it.
Yeah, just if it was, again, the dry powder, if you took a handful of that and kind of rubbed it all over your body and then rinsed it off in the shower, yeah, sure, go for it.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, there are better exfoliators out there.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Hey, maybe rice flour, that would be a good replacement for those plastic microbeads that they're having such trouble with. The next one was about petroleum jelly, and they were talking about using it to help your eyelashes grow longer.
Right.
What do you think about that one?
It's not gonna help your eyelashes grow longer. I mean, it could help condition your eyelashes, it's not gonna help make them grow longer.
Yeah, I wonder maybe that one, because I wonder where these myths come from, you know, and maybe that one is that, you know, you put petrol atom or petroleum jelly on your eyelashes, and it tends to, you know, sort of thicken them up, and because you're putting a coating on there, and it reflects the light differently, and maybe they look bigger and longer. But no, it's not going to physiologically change the growth of the hair. No.
Yeah, that's an interesting notion. Here was an interesting one too, which I had to look up, but it's use frozen aluminum foil to depuff your skin.
Well, what's the, you know, the heat capacity of a sheet of aluminum foil? Is that going to really keep your skin cold?
Here's where this came from. Some models swear by this, where they'll take aluminum, a roll of aluminum foil, and put it in the freezer. And their face gets kind of puffy, you know, after a long day of modeling, I guess.
Okay.
Smiling too much or something. Right. And they claim that they'll take the aluminum foil and then wrap the cold foil and wrap it on their face, and it reduces the swelling.
Well, now, you said you said you looked this up. Did you find anything that corroborates it?
Oh, no. I just looked up to see what people were doing, because it was... but no, there's no evidence that there's anything special about the aluminum foil that helps. I think what they like is that you could form it on your face, for example.
Sure, that makes sense. And the cooling certainly will have a temporary, compressive effect. That makes sense. But the foil is going to it's going to transfer heat pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be better off with some sort of cold pack. You know,
right.
That might actually help.
And you can see the problem with a cold pack, though, is that you can't form it on your face, right?
Yeah. I mean, they sell masks that gel masks that do conform to your face. So just buy one of those things. Come on.
Gel mask would be much better than aluminum foil.
I guess on a supermodel salary, it's tough to afford those beauty devices. I don't know.
Well, you would know. I remember your early career.
No, I remember I was just a hand model. We don't make squat.
Sorry. All right. How about this one? Using ketchup to fix your brassy hair color.
Yeah, this one just pissed me off.
Did it?
Well, I mean, you have to wonder how some of these things get any traction, right? Like, have you ever talked to anyone who's successfully done this? Come on.
Well, let me just say how this probably could come about. Someone's got, like, you know, they have red ketchup, and ketchup is red, and they knew that red can sort of take care of brassy stuff in your hair.
Which it doesn't, but okay, go ahead.
There you go. So I can see the connection.
Nobody's going to pour ketchup in their head and let that sit there, and then, no, it's not going to happen.
Well, that could be another way it comes about. Like,
some sort of horrible picnic accident?
No, somebody has a gullible friend, and they go, hey, I heard, and they convince somebody to do it, and if you've gone through and put ketchup in your head, wouldn't you rather say, oh yeah, it worked, than to say, oh, I'm an idiot for trying this thing that obviously didn't work?
Well, you know, you get out of the house much more frequently than I do, so the next time you're at a party, you should try that and see if anybody, you know, have ketchup will travel.
But, you know, what might be better is if you use, like, a henna rinse or something. That could help, I guess, right?
I guess, or, you know, I mean, what's the core problem? Is it mineral buildup? I mean, maybe that's what you need to look at. Is it, I don't know. I'll tell you what, it's not ketchup.
Yeah, you know, what can actually leave a stain on your hair, when I was doing some work on hair colors, is we looked at soaking hair in Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
You know, the kids drink, and you can actually color your hair with Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Another one. We got four more here.
Right.
Honey is as a facial cleanser. What do you think about using honey as a facial cleanser?
Well, at least this one doesn't, you know, seem quite so intuitively disobvious. I don't know. Is that a word, disobvious? But you can sort of see, like, honey's a good thing, right? And it's known to, you know, speaking of having antibacterial properties, right? It's known to have antibacterial. Of course, it would be a good cleanser. It attracts moisture. It's good. Honey's just good, right? So how could that go wrong? Well, I mean, when you leave honey on skin, it does have some humectancy. So as a moisturizing ingredient, it could
attract
help
some water,
bind, you know, moisture to your skin, maybe. I mean, it doesn't really have cleansing properties per se. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, going back to the antibacterial properties, you know, that's based on the release of certain types of peroxide from honey. And only certain types of honey have that. Manuka honey is actually known for having a higher free peroxide level. But, mm-hmm. you know, you have to buy, you know, it has to be very fresh honey. They actually certify, you know, each lot, you know, they do some tests on it to measure that it's got the right activity. So you can't just go into the store and just buy any honey and expect it to work the same way. So I think, you know, sure, you know, there's no downside to this one if you want to try it. But if you're just trying to clean your face, there are much better ways to do it.
Yeah, and much better uses of honey.
Yeah, yeah. Do you put that? I know you drink a lot of tea. You probably put honey in your tea, don't you?
You know, I to tell you the truth, I don't really like the taste of honey. I just drink tea just plain.
So just what? Just sugar? Then you put in it?
No. I weaned myself off sugar. It took a couple of months, but I started with. I used to have two packs. I go down to one pack, and then a half a pack, and then a quarter pack, and by the time I was at a quarter pack, I was like, "Why waste any time?" And so now I use no sugar.
So you use artificial sweeteners?
I use nothing but hot water, and you know, my rule is if you got brown, you got tea. You know, speaking of tea, that brings us to the next one. You know, you ever get bags under your eyes?
You know, I think that's the first segue you've ever done that actually made sense, because this one's about tea bags. That's amazing.
Right. So the idea was to use green tea bags for your eyes. I guess use the green tea bags for the bags under your eyes.
Bags for bags, yeah.
Now, green tea has gotten a lot of good press, I guess, recently, right? People know the green tea is filled with polyphenols, which mm-hmm. have an antioxidant effect. So, you know, I could understand how this could come about. Someone thinks that there's some benefit here, but there's really no evidence that a topical application of a green tea bag, whether spent or not, is going to have any noticeable beneficial effect on your eyes, right?
Well, I'll do you even better than that. I mean, there's evidence yeah. that it won't work, because green tea, that was one of the ingredients we talked about in our anti-aging show. And we found that, you know, it doesn't penetrate very well. It essentially gets used up on the top of the skin, you know, before it can get into where it really needs to work as an antioxidant. So there's not a lot of benefit from just, you know, slathering green tea on your face. So, yeah, tea bags. Now, if you stick them in the freezer first, they may be a nice replacement for aluminum foil. But that's probably about it.
Well, I tell you what, that's really nutty. And speaking of nuts,
wait. So now you're swinging completely in the opposite direction, where you're striving to have coherent transitions. The show is out of control.
OOC. So this number, what is this? Number 11?
Number 10.
Number 10. Coconut oil is going to, you can use that to add plumpness to the face.
Hmm.
I mean, I suppose if you inject it under your skin, but no, there's no evidence that a coconut oil is going to plump your face. Now, the oil might help make your face more shiny, and this would actually work better as an oil cleanser than, say, the honey, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you know, if you are going to use coconut oil on yourself, probably the best thing to do is use it on your hair, because it's been shown it can penetrate the hair and help give it some flexibility, maybe impact the strength of your hair.
You know, I suppose if you, I mean, it's an oil, it could have some occlusive effect on skin, and anytime you moisturize the skin with an oil, you may get some plumping just from retaining moisture, you know, a small amount. But yeah, that's not likely to make a big difference.
Yeah.
But
and the other thing about coconut oil is it's at room temperature, it's generally a solid.
Yeah.
So you'd have to use it, you'd have to, I guess, heat it up, right?
You could digest it with one of those enzymes we talked about. I guess.
Pre-digest. Have your cat chew it and then spit it back up.
Yikes.
Okay, we have the next one.
This is the one about using. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, using a teaspoon of black molasses every day to ward off gray hair. So if you just add a little teaspoon, flop this thing in your mouth, it's going to stop your gray hair from ever forming.
It's another one where I kind of wonder where this came from. It now, you know, there's no evidence that taking that internally is going to do any good. But it occurred to me that molasses, you know, it's essentially caramelized sugar, and caramel is a colorant. So, you know, if you did put this stuff on your hair, it may stain a little bit. And, you know, maybe that's where this myth came from, right? Somebody did that at some point and then thought if you swallow it, it would work better. I don't know. But it's not going to do anything to your hair.
You know where this myth might have came from? Remember that time a bunch of years ago I had this idea that if I ate enough carrots, I could turn orange?
Sadly, I can't get that out of my brain.
One night I ate 3 pounds of carrots in an attempt to change the color of my skin to make it orange. I just wanted to test to see if that was real.
Sure.
It didn't have any noticeable effect, at least on my skin. But the notion is that you eat something that's the same color that you want. So black molasses, you eat the molasses, that's going to keep your hair brown or black, right?
Could see
that's probably where it came from.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, and you had one more myth.
Yeah, so this is the one about replacing your hair conditioner with a fabric softener sheet.
Oh.
This was in Women's Wear Daily or someplace. I don't remember now where it was, but somebody saw it and then mentioned it in the Beauty Brains forum. So the idea is you want to condition your hair, you just use one of these sheets and you wipe it on your hair and you can use it over and over again. It's much cheaper than conditioner and so on. So, you know, and you could see, right, oh, well, it conditions fabric, so sure, it would condition hair. It kind of makes sense. But
sure.
This one, you know, this is another one that just kind of irked me. So, you know, first of all, putting laundry products directly on your skin, it's not a good idea. You know, it just amazes me that people will complain to the nth degree about cosmetic ingredients, you know, not being safe. But sure, no problem. Let me slather this laundry product on my skin. Like, come on. You know, despite
right. Laundry products are not safety tested the same way that cosmetics are.
Well, right. They have different requirements. They're, right. You know, they're rinsed away. They're not meant to be left in contact with skin. And, you know, the laws that govern fabric softeners are different than those that govern, cosmetics. So, I mean, that doesn't mean it's necessarily dangerous, but
right. It's
just not proven to be safe. And, you know, I'll give you three quick examples, right? The conditioning agents themselves could be more aggressive and therefore more irritating. The colorants that you use in laundry products don't have to be approved, so, you know, they may not be safe on skin. And then, you know, in some laundry products, there are co-solvents that would be rinsed away when you do the laundry, but you wouldn't want to put those directly on your skin. They could dry you out or have, other side effects. So, you know, please, just don't do that. And besides, even if it was completely safe, it's not going to work as well as a conditioner because, you know, it may give you some, anti-static effect, but it's not going to shine your hair like, let's say, a silicone would. It's not going to give you the same feel. You're going to smell like you just got out of the dryer. Really? Is that what you want? So no, right. So this is not a good idea.
To our sensibilities as cosmetic formulators, it's offensive.
Please do not offend the podcasters.
All right. I guess that is our pack full of myths show, huh?
Wow. Yeah. This was kind of a groundbreaking episode. We did a couple of new things today. And I think most importantly, we had coherent transitions from you, so that will go down in the history of the show.
So do we have, now this last segment is where we do a joke then?
No, the last segment is where we pitch the book and then get the hell out of here.
Oh, that's right. We have a book, don't we?
Yeah, it's called It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
Yes, and you can get that on our website if you'd like an autographed hard copy. You can get it an electronic version wherever those little e-books are sold.
Yeah, and well, you know, not everybody listens to podcasts, but everybody reads books. So.
Everybody.
They make a great Memorial Day gift.
Yeah, that was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, was it? Well, what's the next holiday coming up?
4th of July's coming up, man.
Yeah, they don't have a 4th of July in like Europe though, right?
Well, sure they have the 4th of July. They don't have Independence Day.
Oh, gotcha.
Wow.
See, okay. I knew I'd get a joke in there.
All right. Well, on that note, let's say goodbye to our faithful listening audience.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Remember, be brainy about your beauty.